Hey, mamas. It's us.
It's us.
Bianca and Ellie. We have a great show today. It's a little bit of a different show for us. And I just mean that by the fact that we have a guest on, a dear friend of mine, actually my co-star from the first movie I ever did in Los Angeles, Bring It On. It's Claire Kramer. She's an actress.
Woo-hoo.
She is the CEO, founder of Geek Nation. And she's the mother of four children. How she gets all this done, we're going to find out.
I don't know. It's crazy. Go to geeknation.com, though, and you will see that she's created an empire.
She has created an empire. And she has some really specific views and opinions on motherhood and you know, probably some things that are going to stir you guys up a little bit. But that's always a good thing. Because like we said, it's always good to look at things from somebody else's viewpoint, different viewpoint, kind of get a different take on things. So let's do this.
Let's do it. And real fast, we want to give a shout out to our sponsor, Casper Mattresses. Go to casper.com/atomic for your deal.
Hi. It's Ellie and Bianca.
Yeah, we have a very special guest, which we'll introduce in a second.
Okay, but first, I'm so thrown. Bianca is like missing half of her being right now. I step out of the car, and she has this gorgeous haircut. You lost like 5 feet of hair.
I was in New York for Upfronts because Undateable got picked up for season 3. Woo-hoo-hoo. And I was so mad at my hair that I was just like, I'm fucking cutting this off. And I came home and I made the appointment. I walked in and cut off.
Afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You took all the photos and you should go back now and do the red carpet stuff.
I know. Thank you. I'm very happy. It feels very light and airy. The only thing is I'm living in the blowout glow. So like when I wash my hair and have to do it myself, it may be a different story.
Oh, so this is really, really new.
No, yesterday. I did it yesterday. Yeah.
Wow.
It's all good.
You got back Monday.
Yeah, it's been, I know, I feel I haven't seen you forever.
Ever. We'll make
anyway,
up for it.
So we have I feel like we say this every single time, a very special guest, but this one really is special.
Because we only have the most specialist.
It's true. We have a dear friend of mine. For any of you who have ever seen the movie Bring It On, this is where we met Claire Kramer. Keithley. I tacked the Keithley on there. I don't know if that's what we're
good.
Going by the
no, it's all good. I mean, after 10 years, you know, I basically answered anything. Thanks, you guys. Thanks for having me on.
So Claire is an actress. She is the founder of Geek Nation, which is so awesome because we are sitting in the studios right now. We got to come over here and do a very special Atomic Moms podcast.
Field trip.
I know it feels very exciting. And in fact, I think this is kind of where I got my podcast bug, because I would come and I did a couple podcasts with Claire here, because they do a lot of podcasts, a lot of web series. I mean, tell us a little bit about Geek Nation.
Geek Nation is basically an entertainment, a destination entertainment site. We have a network of podcasts. We have about 20 podcasts. Three of them are currently in the top 10 on iTunes, so you can check them out there. We have about 15 video shows, and in Q3, we're going to be launching about 15 more, so about 30 video shows.
And are those on YouTube, or where do you find the video shows?
We don't use YouTube at all. Produce everything in-house.
But where do I see the video shows?
On geeknation.com.
Got it.
We have about 20 million users a month. And then the other part of our platform is written content. So we kind of consider ourselves like the Huffington Post for geeks.
So
it's the trifecta of action, ladies. If you like listening, you can listen. If you like watching, you can watch. If you like to read, then you can read.
I will never forget
media
the day.
Empire.
Yes, it's a media empire. And also, if that isn't enough, on top of being an actress and a founder of this insane company, Claire is a mother of four kids.
Yeah, we got to talk.
Well, I actually consider Geek Nation my fifth and my husband my sixth. So, you know. But yes, it's true. I do have four little ones. And
yeah.
They are little.
And I was so
How
excited.
Little? What are their ages? Tell you.
18 months. Three,
oh my gosh, so is mine.
It's 18 months, three, oh. 5, and 7.
3, 5, and 7. Wait, I gotta wait a minute, everyone. 18 months, 3, 5, 7. Okay,
yes.
When I walked into this empire, I thought at least, I mean, she must have been a teen mom because the kids have to at least be like in high school or something, or middle school, like where you would have time to run an empire. We got to discuss. Do you sleep? Do you
get? No, I don't sleep, but I do, you know, it's really, it's funny because yes, I am obviously exhausted much of the time. I'm human, you know, and much like any other woman or man who works full time, it's a building a company, being an entrepreneur, owning your own business. You have a lot of responsibility. You have a fiduciary responsibility to your investors, to, you know, to your employees. And you also have a responsibility in your personal life, which my personal life happens to be just as big as my professional life. So yes, I'm constantly exhausted. I live on coffee, but I have a philosophy that women can do it all and do it all well. And so that's kind of how I live my life.
I feel like that's the title of this episode.
Do you ever just hide under your covers though? Like ever? Like, is there ever a breaking point?
When's there time? Right?
Yeah, right.
No, there's not time. And that wouldn't be productive anyway.
No, it wouldn't.
My escapism, and Bianca can tell you this. I mean, if you want to break it down, we can get back to the whole parenting thing and the business thing. And, you know, but my escapism, first of all, I love film and television. That's why I started this company. I'm super passionate. I love watching movies, shows. You're hard pressed to find something that I don't watch. I also read, like if I find an author, I'll read all their books, everything about them. But my true escapism is crossword puzzles, Sudokus, and, you know, mind games, I guess you could say.
So Claire and I met on the set of the cheerleading movie Bring It On.
It's true.
We went through a very interesting journey. We'll just leave it at that.
Don't. Well, all the moms listening to this.
I know. Well, we went through some ups and downs with relationships that we were in, and we kind of supported mm-hmm. each other through that. And then I lived across from a guy named Brian in the apartment building that I first moved into in LA. So after Bring It On, Clara came and stayed with me for a little bit, and she met said Brian. And then I ended up getting a house with Brian and moving in. Brian and I were just very good friends, and Claire seemed to be spending a little extra time over at the house. And I thought, maybe there's something going on with Brian and Claire. And there was. And many years later, they got married. And
that was 10 years ago.
It was 10
this October.
Years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've been actresses together. We've been friends through thick and thin. I mean, Claire is legitimately my oldest Los Angeles friend. And we can always look back at Bring It On and look how much we haven't changed.
Yeah, exactly. First of all, I always say Bring It On was one of my favorite movie making experiences. It was just the epitome of fun. But I mean, history goes a long way in anything, but especially in this business and in this town, I feel like history is really important, you know, because there's so many dynamics in our lives we can't control that is something we can always turn back to. And so that's why Bianca and I love each other. We're always going to be there for each other.
Yeah. And we have that friendship where like we may not talk for six months, even though we live in the same city. But as you heard, she's a very busy woman. And
as are you, and obviously.
And so I love those friendships where you can just check in and it's all good. And I really, you know, was so excited when I got pregnant, and I immediately called up Claire and Brian and let them know. I have actually been to the hospital for every one of their child's birth. I mean, not for the actual birth, but like 5 hours
if
later.
If you could have made it in time for the birth. Yes. Are we going to talk about births at all? Because we could talk about my fast births. But
this woman barely makes it to the hospital, by the way.
Bianca.
Well, she's too busy. She's going to get back to work.
I don't have time for you. Okay. No, but yeah, that has meant so much that you've come for all those. Thank you.
Well, you were very all important those. People to me. I know.
And I just met Brian in the office up front.
Yes.
So what is his position with Geek Nation?
Co-founder.
Okay. So he's co-founder. Because when I look it up, it's always your name. So
I'm the acting CEO. He's the COO, but we run the company together.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. And I want you to talk a little bit because I remember when you guys were like, we got to show you this warehouse and we're going to turn it into this thing. And Brian, I just will never forget Brian saying, I can't believe geeknation.com isn't taken. And then it blows up and it's this huge thing. And so talk a little bit about how that idea came to fruition.
Well, the impetus behind the company was we wanted to start a creative site where we could create essentially a liaison between celebrities, entertainment personalities, artists, directors, and the public, because there's no place really out there that fans and celebs can interact in a safe environment. So that was kind of the impetus behind creating the site. I mean, of course, there's great sites like, you know, Cinema Blend and, you know, Film Drunk and all these other great sites, but this was our kind of niche, we felt. So at the beginning, we launched out of our house, which was almost, the site's almost been live 3 years. So in the beginning, we launched out of our house, then we got an office. And then around a year in, we were like, we really need a production facility, because we were recording the podcast out of the office. And that was another thing, is we didn't want to aggregate anything, any content at all. We wanted everything to be all original, produced by us, you know, that way not only could we quality control it, but we could, you know, capitalize and create a brand that was exclusive to us.
And then you're not just copycatting.
Well, plus, you know, like, we own the IP on everything, which is huge. If you're on YouTube,
it's intellectual property, for those who don't know. A lot of people, I didn't know what IP was two years ago. It's important to keep it. And everyone always wants to take it. Like, everyone wants you to, like, sign off. But
that's what people don't understand. If you're on a network like YouTube or, you know, some of the other aggregating networks out there, we all know what they are. You essentially own a small portion of the property, even if it's all created by you. So we didn't want that to be a barrier for us. We wanted to eliminate that. So by making exclusive content just for the site, that was, you know, how we usurped that. So anyway, when we got this space, yes, it was an old, like, Harley Davidson warehouse where they fixed motorcycles.
I feel like they shoot Sons of Anarchy around here.
I'm sure they probably do. I don't know.
Adam was working on a pilot years ago.
MTV is down the street, and Client List used to shoot down the street as well. So there are some studios in Van Nuys. Yeah. Greg Grunberg, our good friend, his studio is actually, like, across Burbank Boulevard. Not that... Maybe we should take out where I just said the studio was. That's fine. Anyway, yeah, so it was a blank space and we just slowly have built it. And what you see today is we have, you know, 10 to 12 roving sets. We have a 45 foot green screen and a 20 by 20 white psych where we can shoot any sort of promo pieces.
It's so awesome. So all of our moms and non-moms listening want to know, how do you make all of this happen with your four kids? And I want you to talk a little bit about where you were in the process of Geek Nation when you were pregnant with each of them. I mean, we don't have to go into the full story, but I tell us that story, because I think that's quite fascinating.
Okay, well, I've been pregnant and had two children in the 3 years since we launched the company. So I have both my boys, actually. I have two girls. Those are the older two. And then two boys. Those are the, you know, 3-year-old and 18-month-old. And, you know, I just really, I in terms of being pregnant and building the company, it actually wasn't really a factor. I didn't have difficult pregnancies, so I just kind of worked through them. I remember at one point somebody came in, I think it was with Jamie Kennedy and one of his producers, and I was like 5 months pregnant, and they're like, when are you due? And I'm like, they're like, next week. And I'm like, hello, no, I still have several months to go. So, you know, it's always interesting working around a lot of men. And this is the technology industry, as well as the website industry, is definitely predominantly male. In terms of the kids, you know, it is a challenge balancing work and home. You know, I obviously have a support system. My oldest is in first grade. My second two are in preschool together. And then my youngest is at home. And he, during the day, we have another employee here who has a son who's 13 months old. And so we have someone who comes and stays with both of the little boys at our house.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the, like, intricacies of that. But
is there something you guys love to do as a family? Like, is there one moment a week where you guys are all together and you're like, oh, this is our little sweet spot?
I mean, the way I make all this work for me is I maximize my time at home with the kids. I don't have help and I don't have, you know, people in my house or whatever happening when I'm not there, when I am there, rather. Yeah. Watch yourselves, kids. But, you know, in the evenings we have, you know, it's getting to the age now where I'm doing homework with Gavin, and my 5-year-old and 7-year-old play the violin. So that's happening. And now sports are happening. So it's going to be, you know, as it is at every stage of parenthood, you know, refiguring out how to make things work in a more efficient, you know, effective way. But in the evenings, we all watch you know, we watch animal movies during the week and we watch other movies on the weekends. We have picnics every Friday. We put a blanket down and order pizza, and the kids, they look forward to that. They know, like, Friday night, that's our picnic night. That's awesome. Pizza.
Pizza ritual.
Yeah, exactly. Saturday and Sunday, we do not make plans except as a family. You know, Brian and I, everyone's like, really, not everyone, but a lot of my friends are very into date night. And this, Brian and I don't have that. That's not us right now. Our life is about the kids and the business. And so when we're, you know, when we have the weekend, we don't want to take 5 or 6 hours out of our day and leave the kids. We leave them every day for 8 hours during the week. So really, on the weekends from Friday, end of work, till Monday morning, we are with the kids 24/7.
And how do you turn it off? Like, I think it would be difficult. It's difficult enough to be a working mom and turn it off when you go home, but then to have your partner, your business partner, come home with you. Was there ever a discussion of like, we're not going to discuss this right now because we're home? Like, how do you create those boundaries?
We don't. I mean, that's just to be honest, we don't have boundaries like that. And that works for us. It probably doesn't work for a lot of people, but I don't have the mind frame of like, I'm going to go home and I can't check my computer or my email until, you know, no, I mean, if I've got shit going on, sorry, but I'm going to have to, you know, when you're running a company and you're managing employees and you're, you know, and you're responsible, like I said, for a myriad of different things and executing a myriad of different things, the luxury isn't there to walk away. So we don't, we are immersed 24/7 in the company and in the family. And it is, trust me, it's tiring. It is. But I wouldn't have it any other way. We're always like, we're working for the next decade. We're working for, you know, when they're teenagers and we can go on these awesome trips to Europe.
So irresponsible of me. My phone was on.
Bianca got a call. I just wanted to know who it was.
My brother. It was Andre.
Oh my God. One of my favorite people also. Mm-hmm. But, you know, yeah, we just say we're working for the next decade. Like, this is it right now. We're in it to win it. We're in it to win it with the company. And I don't sacrifice activities with my kids. I still am at violin every morning with my daughter. I am still at every swim practice, every swim meet. Yesterday, you know, some guys around here got pissed because they tried to move a meeting till 2. I was like, no, my daughter has a singing recital, you know? And they're like, that's, you're just gonna have to miss it. I was like, no, F you. I'm not gonna miss it, you know? And so they moved it back to 3. And I was like, next time, freaking check with me.
Can we talk for a minute about the pressures of being a mom and being in business? Because Amy Poehler just said in Esquire magazine this month, she talked about how many times she goes into a business meeting and they ask where her kids are. Like, where are your kids? And that you would never ask a man that. And she's like, well, if it was a man, then it'd be the equivalent of me asking him, like, how often do you see your kids? So what have you come across any of that? Or like, how do you,
I mean, listen, there's a whole, it's a very hot button topic right now. Equal rights, equality in the workplace. And I don't think that it's naive to say that it doesn't exist. You know, it just simply doesn't exist. Whether you're the CEO of PepsiCo or you're, you know, the head of Facebook or you're me at Geek Nation, there's not equality, and that's just the way it is. I certainly have surrounded myself with a great internal team that I don't feel any of that from. As far as the outside world, I've probably experienced that more in acting, actually, than in the business, like Geek Nation, per se. Although, actually, that's not exactly true. I'll tell an acting story, though. With all my kids, I was working within 2 months of having them, which in and of itself is insane. Trying to like get your body ready to look good after like childbirth. You're like, oh, how am I going to make everything fit back into where it should be? But a couple times during this film I was filming after I had Gavin, I think maybe it was 3 months postpartum, I was breastfeeding and I was exclusively breastfeeding at that point. And I had, of course, my pump on the set, and I would be like, I have to go. Like, if you breastfed, you know, you get like engorged if you don't take care of yourself. And people would be like, oh, we really don't have time for that right now. And I'm sorry, but that's not going to, we can't really do that. That's going to shoot our day. And I just would think to myself, you know, I really don't know what to say here. I was only 32 at that time, and I really didn't know what to say. You know, now I'm like, well, I'm sorry. You know,
I'm so lucky on Undateable because, our guys who are our producers are husbands and fathers themselves. And so they're very, very understanding of that. And then our first AD is just a ball buster. And she's like, I mean, I would just look at her and be like, make the pained face and grab my boobs. And she's like, you're out of here. You go, you know? And so it's like, it's so great to have that around you. But
they should appreciate the extra cleavage anyway. I mean, honestly,
I'm just so inspired by you, Claire. I mean, I wish I would have, we kept saying like, so this is the best story. So I kept meaning to call Claire, email Claire, talk to Claire when I got pregnant. Cause she's like, I have all these things to tell you, whatever. And it was literally the day I went into labor. I was going to the TCAs, which is the Critics Association, kind of upfronts for Undateable. I'm in the limo and I was like, texting her, I'm like, is there any tips you could give me for labor?
And I'm like, don't think about it.
I'm like, I've squalled away 10 months where I haven't managed to get over to say, sit down with you and talk to you. And like literally in the 11th hour, I was like, anything you can tell me. But the thing that I love so much and admire so much about you is that you've literally done everything your way. And, you know, I think that's something we talk a lot about on the podcast is parenting and this need to kind of acquiesce to what everyone else's idea of a good parent is. And, you know, you have really, I mean, you were always this way, but certainly in marriage and now in motherhood and in business, you've totally taken the reins and you're just like, no, not like, I love listening to you right now. Cause you're such a businesswoman now. And, and it's, you know, and you were always that way. I mean, I just remember like there was a time when Claire was on Buffy, the Vampire Slayer. I was on Boston Public and another one of our friends, Nikki, what show was she doing? Oh, Dark. Was she in Dark? No.
Yeah, or
something at the same time. We were all working and like our little, Claire's little apartment, in Hollywood on Bronson Avenue.
Yes.
So like, it was like an office. Like we were always in there wheeling and dealing and, you know, and it just felt like it felt like the precipice of our life. You know, it was like everything was beginning and now it's so amazing to see us all. And I'm sure we're not any of us where we thought we would be back at that time. I mean, we had ideas of, and that doesn't mean we're not going to get there, but like Oscar awards and the things that we were going to be winning.
I mean, you know, that's the beauty of being in your early 20s. You're delusional.
But I'm so proud of what we have become. And I think that to be in a business that like we've talked about is so cutthroat and really kind of impersonal for such a creative business. I feel like we've all made it our own. And I feel like, we're good. We're not only good at our business, we're good wives, we're good partners, we're good moms. You know, I mean, we make it work because we do it our way.
Absolutely.
And I anytime that something happens to me where I'm like, oh man, I think there was some movie that they were talking about possibly going to Chicago for the summer. And I was like, how would I do that with? I'm like, Claire can do it. I can do it.
Oh yeah. That's another, I have taken those kids everywhere.
What would Claire do?
There's like Instagram pics of her with like all three of them in plane seats. And she's like, off to Texas. Like
I was pregnant for that too. So technically there were four children there. God. Yeah. I was pregnant and flew with the three of them to Texas and Ohio that summer.
Yeah. How do you do separation with the kids?
I mean, if I'm going on location in terms of acting, I take them. This last year I took three of them to Arizona for 2 months with me. I've taken Gavin to Florida with me. The river has been many, many places with me because it just so happened when she was born, I was traveling virtually every weekend. So she would come with me every weekend. But nowadays, like for example, I'm going to Denver this weekend and they're old enough. They're staying here, you know, with Brian and some, you know, some extra help.
Yeah. And when you are on the road, then do you have someone that comes with you when you're?
Yes.
Yeah.
I have a regular person, who is more of a friend than a nanny, you know?
So she's regular for the trips.
She's regular for,
or is she with you every
non-stop.
Day?
She's worked with me for 7
okay,
years.
Great.
Yeah. So,
and you have someone else stay at home?
She's the one who stays at home.
She stays at home and then you have someone else.
No, that's it.
But so what if the kids get split?
It's her and me.
Right. But if all the kids, okay, but if all the kids aren't going with you, if just a couple of the kids are going
with
you.
If Brian's here, then he takes care of the ones that are left.
Oh, wow.
Okay. That's a dad.
That is a dad, man. To do that by himself.
He's got the leftovers.
He's able to do that. I'm impressed.
I know. But I'm like terrified sometimes to leave Mike home like for a day because I'm like, he's not going to know what to feed her.
I was just gone for Thursday, came home Sunday night. I saw Sabrina Monday morning and my baby had her very first tan. I was like, what?
You're like, what happened here?
What? I'm the one who went to Miami for work, but like she had a tan and my God, they went to the zoo and it was a cloudy day. But like, I feel like I spent all of my time putting sunscreen on her and like, you know, wrestling her to the ground to put sunscreen on her. And then I come home and she's got a tan.
But
so it's all
what
over.
Important lesson is like, you know, those type of things don't really, she didn't have a burn.
No.
So, you know, those little things,
nice base tan.
The more you can, and this is another, I guess if you guys are, Bianca, you would ask like, how do you manage it? Everything? I don't care about little things. I don't care about the house being clean. To be honest, if I'm being totally honest here, I do not do laundry and I don't do dishes anymore at all. That is someone else because I don't have the time in my life for it. Yeah. I have other things that take priority. It's not a priority for me to come home and clean and make the house look good. It's not a priority for me to make homemade baby food every day of the week. Now it is sometimes, you know what I mean? And we bought a deep freezer. That was one of the solutions. So now I have one or two cooking days a month. I do everything. It goes in the freezer. Whatever's made that I made, that's good for the month.
What other mom hacks do you have for us? Come on, bring it. Bring it on.
Wait, I have a quick question in relation to that. Are those discussions that you and Brian have had where you're like, babe, I'm sorry, the house is a mess, but this is the way it's going to be? Or is that just the nature of your relationship where you guys are just, I mean, I know the answer, but I want you to answer
just
that
like,
for...
That's just how it is. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like if things, I believe, Brian believes, we believe collectively, and hopefully we're imparting this on our children, that life is short. Life is precious. Life is full of nightmares that you don't want to deal with anyway.
Yeah.
Don't create your own nightmares.
You know what? I just, I want to share, I spoke to a friend of mine, who told me this story. He's going through a divorce and he has a 3-year-old. And he told me something that really opened my eyes in respect to my relationship with my husband and my husband's relationship with my daughter, because I was asking him about how is it now, you know, when you have her and he gets her every other weekend or whatever it is. And he said, you know what? It's absolutely 100% changed my relationship with my child, because before, the moms are always nervous wrecks that, you know, they dictate what she eats, what happens, what time she goes to bed. And so my relationship with her was just that of like, oh, dad's the guy that I go and play with, or dad's the guy that, you know, we spend a couple hours and we get to do a little naughty thing. But he said now the responsibility has shifted, because when I'm with her, I have to make those decisions now for myself. And I thought to myself, there's so many moments in which I, you know, over, or, what's the expression?
Where I control.
Control, yeah. but micromanage with Mike when it comes to Magnolia. And I realized like there is great power in allowing your spouse to just have their experience. And you know what? Maybe they come home with a tan, you know, maybe they have really ugly clothes on. Maybe they eat something that they weren't supposed to, but it's not the end of the world. And really the expression and the development of the relationship between a father and a kid, or a mother and a kid, if the mom is the one who tends to not be with them, is so important. I mean, it's worth it, isn't it?
I think this is one way to look at it, and it kind of expounds on what you're saying, is the more relaxed the child or the parent can be in life, the more they're going to be able to enjoy being with each other and explore that relationship. The more parameters and boundaries, and believe me, I believe in rules. We yell at the kids get punished, you know, probably stricter than 90% of the people out there. But every time in between is all about freedom, relaxation, building confidence, you know, and you're exactly right, Bianca, the limitations that just don't matter. I mean, does it really matter if they eat that broccoli?
Yeah.
All of it?
Yeah.
Okay. Why not? Why can't they eat edamame or a squash? You know what I mean? Like it doesn't
matter.
Or
like French fries. Like, I mean, honestly, like for one time, I mean, I know we get into habits or whatnot, but still, I mean,
Yeah, I've been speaking a lot to Jennifer Waldberger lately, who we've had on the show a couple times. She wrote Call Mama Happy Baby, and she talks a lot about conditioning and sort of looking at the way we're raising our children and what was our conditioning. And do we think that they need to do this because of how we were raised or because of what we're afraid of society saying and all of these things, instead of like, well, what if we just did it our way? Like, what is that like?
Right.
It's okay for her to eat a piece of pizza at a party. You know what I mean? Like, I'm looking at Bianca because we watched Sabrina eat an entire piece of pizza at a party when she's a year and a half.
I didn't even know she could do that.
I mean, where did it go? I was really proud. But yeah, the idea of look at our, what we're doing or thinking and ask yourself, is this conditioning or is this my authentic self?
Right.
Because 99% of the times, if you, or Jen said to me, you know, if you're saying would or should, then that's conditioning.
Oh.
And that's not your real deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. And obviously there's certain topics that doesn't apply to, like the kid doing homework or the correct amount of sleep or things like that. But everything that you can control, you know, in terms of conditioning and doing it your way, that's our philosophy, is let it be.
Right. And you know, and of those things, even sleep, you know, every once in a while is not going to make or break somebody. And I always, you know, in those moments, just think like, what is the most important thing here? Is it important that we have a memory together and we enjoy each other and, you know, my child gets to see her mom relaxed and having fun? Or is it important that I break this moment by imposing my rule because I need to have control? You know, and also just, I mean, that could go down such a slippery slope, because then you start talking about like things that you do because of things, needs that you didn't have met when you were a kid. You know, it's like you could open a whole like wormhole there.
And now a word from our sponsor. Okay, Bianca, there is an app that I'm obsessed with. It's called Next Issue, and it has like every magazine ever on my phone.
So you guys, Next Issue, it's the new newsstand. All right, nextissue.com has all the best, most up-to-date magazines as a newsstand, but delivered right to your phone or tablet.
Plus, they have magazines that are archived. So you can like type in a keyword and then you can pull up all these articles. It's amazing. It's kind of like a magazine library on my phone.
And the best part is, you guys, there's a 30-day free trial right now. Check it out. You go to nextissue.com/atomic. You will get a free 30-day trial. And no commitments. Cancel anytime. All of your favorite magazines in one place. Over 150 magazines from People and Us Weekly to Shape, Self, Food and Wine, many, many more. You guys, anything that you read, it's probably there. Go to nextissue.com/atomic and start your free trial today.
Yeah, don't forget the atomic part. Bianca, are we going to talk about the bedroom now?
Oh, yeah. Actually, it's so crazy. One of our sponsors is a product that I already own. The Casper mattress. It's amazing, okay? You guys, it's an obsessively engineered mattress at a shockingly fair price. And I can personally tell you, it has just the right sink, just the right bounce. Two technologies, latex foam and memory foam, come together for better nights and brighter days. And you know, they have a risk-free trial and return policy. Try sleeping on a Casper for 100 days with free delivery and painless return.
Okay, that's genius, by the way.
By the way, that's longer than you get to try out most relationships, so I think that's a fair deal.
Okay, so $500 for a twin-size mattress and $950 for a king-size mattress. That's amazing. Comparing that to industry averages, that's an outstanding price point.
Yeah, you guys, go check out casper.com/atomic, and tell you what, you're going to get $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting, again, casper.com/atomic.
And then use the promo code ATOMIC.
I want to talk to you about a hot topic.
Okay. I'm ready.
A hot button. What's the expression?
Hot button issue.
Hot button issue. Your kids.
Or the clothes at Hot Topic. Because I like those too.
Are they even, is that even open still?
I hope so.
I want some boots with flames on them.
Your kids work.
Yes.
So Claire's kids are in the industry.
Yeah.
And I know that there are people out there who would really disagree with that. And we love on this show nothing more than talking about things that people would possibly disagree with. So I want to talk to you about that and what your views are on that.
I mean, it kind of happened for my kids. They fell into it. Obviously, it started by them getting calls from people I know, like, hey, do you have a baby for this? And, you know, that was, well, Gavin started very young. Somebody was producing a Baby Einstein video. And so she did that and she was like 18 months or something. And then, you know, then I got a call from another friend, Joel, who's like, hey, can Hart play Liv Tyler's, you know, son in a movie? And I'm like, okay. So then Hart started working and then, then none of them had agents for a long time. And finally, like, I guess a year and a half ago, I'm like, I guess I need to get them representation. At that point, Gavin was on a NBC show and just Sky was on Shameless, which has happened since, but you know, it's not something that really we give a lot of thought to, like, if they can, you know, if they can go, great. If they don't want to do it, great, you know, and they do their pictures and they go. And it, I have the girl who helps me out drives them to the auditions because I certainly don't have time for that. Yeah. If there are any, most of the time they don't audition, they just go to work. River just did a 10 day Levi campaign.
They're getting offers already. I mean, I'm like having,
I know. I'm like, why? It's like, they're like straight to offer for the Key Play kids. So, you know, I mean, listen, everybody's certainly entitled to their opinion, but it, in my opinion, it's like swim team or soccer or any other hobby or sport that they're into. You know what I mean?
It's so true.
Have you faced any, if you had to have any conversations about rejection or anything like that yet?
Because I don't tell them they're rejected.
Got it. So that's not even in their wheelhouse yet.
Like, you did a great job. You're going to be on TV soon.
Like, oh my God. I'm going to call you the next time I have an audition. You're going to say that to me, right?
I will help you live the dream.
Ellie is suddenly tacking Keith Lee on the island. And
hey, tell him offer only. But you know, it's like, I think that it's a big part of the discontent with kids working is they, sort of the baggage it brings from the parents, you know, and that's not the case with us because most simply put, I'm not involved, to be honest. You know, I have my friend who watches the kids, the nanny, she takes them to the auditions. If there is one, she takes them to work. I simply don't have time.
By the way, that is such a valid point that you just made and such a smart point. And I never really thought about it that way because it's so true. Like any time that I have met a child actor on set, and there've been a few, if they are a weirdo, the parent is there and they're a weirdo too.
Yeah.
And like so weirdo where it's uncomfortable because they're creepsters and I had a conversation sitting in the lobby of ABC. I was testing for a project and there was a guy there and his son was playing on the little coffee table. And he said, oh, what are you here for? And I said, oh, I'm testing for this TV show. You guys, testing is when
it's like when you almost have the job, but then
you might
sometimes
not.
Sometimes you don't get the job, but you almost have it, so you have to do up all the contracts.
So you see how much money you would make.
You can start planning your life if you do have the job, but then when you don't have the job, it's really depressing.
It comes from the back in the day when they actually used to screen test people and they would put them on camera and whatnot. And they don't do that anymore, but they will have three favorites, and then you have to see the people you're up against for the role, and then you know who gets it, and you know whatever. And
it's like in front of all these people.
Oh, it's in front of the whole network. You go in front of you.
It's like doing a little off-Broadway show in a 99 seater
with people who do not respond.
With people who just hate you.
Yes. Like honestly, like there'll be some
but
guy.
Don't be nervous.
No, don't be nervous at all. There'll be some guy who hates you because you look like his ex-wife and you're not getting the job because of that. Anyway, but there was this. So, what are you here for? And I said, oh, this, you know, this show for ABC. And he said, oh, we're here for, you know, something else. And he said, yeah, we're really excited because it's Shane's first legitimate co-star, and we're hoping next it will be leading role. And I was like, who are you?
This is the other thing. The were, like, the, your child is its own entity.
Yes.
Why are you saying? Yes. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm still a controlling mom in that, like, I'll stand on the sidelines of the soccer game. I scream. I'm yelling. I'm like, Gavin, you're playing forward, you know, or whatever, you know. And I stand. I'm the one on the, you know, on the lane line during the swim meets. Like, go, you know. That is me. I am fully in whatever I do. But this is something where I don't have to be involved. It doesn't really have anything to do with me.
Yeah, and if at any point it's not fun for them anymore, then you they don't have to do it.
All the time, you know. Yeah. I mean, it just, if it works into our life, great. If it doesn't, great. My friends, like, they're all three in one of the movies I have coming out. That's the older three, Hart, River and Gavin, just because the director's like, hey, I need kids who can actually deliver lines on camera and who aren't weirdos. I'm like, I have three of them. The fourth one can't talk. So. Well, and Hart is referred to as the spider baby since I was pregnant during Big Ass Spider with him.
Oh, my gosh. So Big Ass Spider is this awesome movie that Claire did with Greg, whose name, last name I can never pronounce.
Grunberg.
Yes. And and they're making a second one. Sequel. Yes,
they will be making a sequel.
And where can people see the first one?
Well, it's actually number 8 on Netflix all time of horror movies, which it's not a horror movie. It's a total like lie, you know, but it's a comedy. It's kind of like Ghostbusters meets, I don't know, The Thing.
Yeah.
It's funny.
And when do you start filming the second one?
I don't know. I think it's going to be in the fall. I'm filming something that I can't talk about yet in July, which I'll tell you about after this. And then, exclusive. And then I think that they are talking about like September, October.
Okay. I have another question for you.
Okay. I hope I'm doing a good job of answering.
First of all, by the way, amazing. And you're a pro at this. You have 8 podcasts that you do on your own.
We're recording our podcast at your podcast place. Okay.
No, but I like to analyze other people. Now you're like turning the mirror on me. So.
That's true. I want to talk about body image, and especially with having girls and boys, but in the business, you're in the business, your kids are now working in the business. You and I have, God, ad nauseum talked about this because you and I both have booties, mm-hmm. and we like to eat, and we've seen each other at our best and we've seen each other at our worst. Yep. I remember one time, I hope you don't mind me bringing this up, but I was thinking about it the other day. Claire was getting ready for an event. This is when we lived together. And she had this crazy shirt that like wrapped all the way around. There was like supposed to be different ways to tie it and whatnot. And you had a full on mental breakdown in my room trying to get this thing ready for this red carpet event. And it's to the point where she was not going then. It was done.
That was how it used to be. All the weapons. Black and white, ladies.
But let's talk about this with our kids.
Oh, we've all been there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. About, you know, especially, you know, with an industry where the women are just getting skinnier and skinnier and
younger or and, like more, their faces are like polished cement.
Yeah. And Claire still looks like she's 16, which is...
Well, you flatter. But, I mean, first of all, there's a couple different components here to discuss. One is, you know, women in the industry, actors in the industry. And I actually disagree a little bit with what you were saying about the women getting skinnier and skinnier. And I do think that
we don't disagree on this podcast, so...
Well, what? eat some cheese and be quiet.
I thought we scanned her before we asked her to be a guest.
But I see, you know, listen, actresses, most of us weren't models and most of us never wanted to be.
Yeah,
you know, and... If you are looking to cast a model, then do.
Right.
And if you're looking to cast a real person, then do. And
yeah, I mean, you are right in that now, you know, opening my mind a little bit to it there, because I think television has now opened to other, you know, forms of content in terms of on the web or Netflix or cable. And there are more jobs than there ever were. And those jobs are much more open to women of all shapes and sizes and colors.
Well, the fact is, like, if you look like Megan Fox, you are undoubtedly, you know, going to get cast in a lot of things based on your looks. And she's a great actress. I don't know her. I'm just using her as a pure example. No affiliation to her. But you're going to have trouble believing Megan Fox as, you know, a down and out drunkard or, you know, a woman who's lost her way in her 40s or, you know, there's a certain dynamic you can't play if you look like a gorgeous model.
Yeah.
And I'm not interested in playing the kind of roles that you can play if you only look like a gorgeous model, you know? So right. To me, it's like about creating depth of character. And the more that we, as the actors in this town, talk about that and expound on that and create projects based on that, you know, that to me is more effective.
Well, I think you need to create your own projects because so that people can see that. I think the issue is that a lot of people on the other side of the table aren't able to see see it. Like, they want you to look rested and pretty, even if you are reading for the down and out drunk. I have a girlfriend. God, hang on. Can we cut that?
She's speaking some truth here. Froggies in the throat.
Yeah, froggies in the throat. We know it's the truth. I have a friend who, last pilot season, she went out for a character that was supposed to be a total slob. I mean, that's what it said. It said, like, popcorn on the shirt, total slob. Then the feedback from her manager was, they said you didn't look polished enough. Can you get blowouts? And do you have a friend who could come over and do your makeup? Okay. So it's like, they want the slob, but they want, this is for TV.
Yeah.
They want the, well, like,
yeah,
the squeaky, clean, they want attractive.
It. Exactly. And I think that's kind of what I'm referring to is also, it's not even so much in like a gritty, you know, movie that may actually go to festivals and portray something that's very realistic. Certainly going to hopefully cast somebody that is the right person for that role. I think what I was referring to more is like magazine covers and a lot of the media portrayal of specifically women, but also men. You know, that our daughters are growing up and looking at, that our kids are, that are, you know, yeah, being influenced.
I think the only one good example of people doing it right is Dove and their campaign, like, yeah, the Real Women campaign. But you're right. Like, there's always, you know, the controversies that come about on Jezebel or whatever about like, hey, Beyonce airbrushed her thighs in this Instagram picture. And like, they show the before and after. Everybody saw the Cindy Crawford pictures that came out, yeah, the before and after of that. And it's like, you know what? People are human. Yeah, you know, and the thing is, it's a fine line, because when you're running a magazine like, let's just say Cosmopolitan, because they're going to put a celebrity more often than a model on a yeah, cover, maybe, or yeah, or, you know, you could say, you know, I don't know, another magazine, Glamour, same thing. You are looking at a bottom line. It's a business.
Yeah.
So you do have to balance that. You have to balance both those things.
Well, you know? What I think is so interesting about that is that it means that we, the consumers, are the ones that are actually lining up to pay for these things that look the way that they do.
Of course.
And
that's why my kids don't watch TV other than movies or things, you know, animal shows. They now, listen, I let my kids watch almost anything. They've seen all the Star Wars. They've seen Avatar. They've seen, you know, Warm Bodies is one of their favorite movies.
Teresa Palmer was on her.
Yeah. Yeah. But they don't watch Disney Channel. They don't watch Nickelodeon. And they don't watch anything that I deem irresponsible.
This is so interesting to me. Like, it's the reverse of what anyone would say in terms of what you think your kids should watch. Yeah. So
I think it's irresponsible to show a young teeny bopper who looks perfect to an 8-year-old girl, a 10-year-old girl who's developing their own personality, who doesn't necessarily know who she is, who's trying to find her way in fashion, in intellect, in, you know, society, in terms of like groups of friends and whatever. That to me is a real sense of irresponsibility. Now, listen, I mean, I've tested for Disney shows. I may be involved with them in the future, but to me, I'd rather have my kid watching Walking Dead. That's real life issues. And I can say, hey, those zombies aren't real. I can't say Hannah Montana, it's not real.
Jeez, woman, that's... I'm like, I have to chew on that for a little bit.
People really probably will disagree with me, but
I don't disagree with you, though. What about the violence?
Does that bother you at all?
No, okay. It doesn't. Sex bothers me because I can't explain it.
Okay. Yeah.
They're like, what? I'm like, ah, let's turn the channel. But no, violence doesn't bother me. It's part of life. You know, you got to explain that's how you, if you, in my opinion only, and I'm not saying this is the right way of parenting for anyone else, but I'm exposing my kids to everything so that they're shocked by nothing and they don't react to things in a way in which, you know, is naive.
What about protecting their sense of innocence for a while? Like for
that's
a
why
few
they don't
years.
Watch Disney.
Okay.
And
okay.
Nickelodeon. That's so not like, innocent.
I completely agree.
Real
and
world
I wouldn't
issues
want that.
Do not make you uninnocent. They educate you. And right. There's a difference.
But watching The Walking Dead before my daughter is at least 13, I feel like for me, that's introducing her to violence that like she doesn't need to see. Like that's not real world because it's zombies. And it's
that's where
it's
parenting
gratuitously
comes
violent.
Into, you know, that's where we have different perspectives, and that's for totally sure. normal. I mean, I see the show as it's a layered view on society, and it uses the apocalyptic world as a backdrop, much like Star Trek, the original series did in the 60s. You know, we had the world was in such a tumultuous state, and the show came out and it used science fiction as a template to talk about these real world issues, racism, yeah. bigotry, you know, sexism. The list is endless with that show, really is. And so for me, The Walking Dead, yes, it has zombies and people kill zombies. And, you know,
but you know what, though,
that doesn't bother me.
The other thing about that, though, is like, I mean, I know so many little boys who play these video games now that are as realistic as The Walking Dead is, and they're at the helm shooting the people.
Here's the other thing. My kids have no electronics, no leap pads, no iPhones, no nothing. Nothing electronic at all.
That'll help their imagination.
Well,
for sure.
To me, I feel like that is that within our technology and our developments, which are fabulous for us as adults, but we have usurped a child's the way the synapses connect in their brains, and you can't untrain that. Once a child is used to thinking a certain way, you can't uncondition that. So I'm just like, absolutely not, none, nothing. They're always, every place we go, all their friends have iPads, or if we go to a, you know, wherever, a doctor's office, the kids are playing on an iPad, playing on
something. They're numbed out. Yeah.
Mom, can I do that? And I'm like, no, absolutely not. No. You can look at pictures on my phone. That's it.
Do you watch these programs with them, or do they watch them on their own? Like
they watch them with me.
With you.
We do everything as a family.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is another reason I won't let them watch kid shows, because I have to see them.
Right. Exactly. Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Paddington Bear is an excellent film, by the way.
Oh.
It just came out this past year. Paddington Bear. It is so good. It got like 90% on Rotten Tomatoes. I mean, at least for my year and a half year old,
I mean, there's a lot of crazy stuff out there.
I mean, they're huge Frozen fans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they watch that stuff. They're, you know, they're not allowed to watch cartoons, but they can watch animation.
Yeah. Well, Paddington Bear, like, he's animated, but it's the real family.
Is that the one with Nicole Kidman, or is that Corduroy?
Yeah. That's no, Paddington? We fast forward through Nicole Kidman because she's really scary. Not because she's like,
you can't explain that.
Not because she's doing the taxidermy, but just she looks really. Going back to the smooth cement.
Yes, yes.
But one more thing about TV, and then I'm sure you guys want to move on. But during the week, we have them watch animal shows, so they're watching Nat Geo or whatever. This on polar bears. This on that. Blah blah blah. So that's like the weekly thing, and then it's the weekend is the kind of like, you know, free for all.
I mean, I have to say, like, I'm always very, I like it, I guess, is the easiest way to say it. I like it when I get to sit down with someone and talk about things where you have a very specific opinion and way of doing things, and you're not apologetic about it, and you believe in the things you believe in because that's the way you choose to do them. And you're also not judgmental of anybody who does things any other way. And I feel like if more people could just be comfortable in what they're doing and not worry about what everyone else is doing.
Or worry about them worrying about what they're doing.
Exactly. I mean, I have to say, like, a couple of times, you know, the things that you've said today, I'm like, well, shoot, I haven't thought about it that way before. And that's really eye-opening to me. And you know, nobody can say that you aren't getting shit done and you're taking care of so many different facets of your life and doing it well. I think, you know, that it's, I just love you, Claire, and I'm so proud of you.
I love you too.
And I
love you too. Even though I disagreed with you on one thing.
And we didn't even,
it was my mistake.
I want to clarify this. We did not even disagree on it. I was just saying my daughter won't watch Walking Dead till she's 14. That wasn't a disagreement.
I was talking about the thing about the skinny actresses.
Bianca said that. Don't put that on me. Because look, if being a skinny actress got you a lot of work, I'd be all for it. But I'm sitting here as a testament that's not all that counts.
Well, and you know, and also the minute that it came out of my mouth too, I was thinking like, I mean, the skinny actresses never did anything to anybody either. I mean, there's people out there who
just sounded like they were like zoo animals, like
those skinny actresses.
But they kind of are in the way that people talk about them that way. You know, it's like I feel like the skinnies get a bad rap too. It's like I did put this thing up on Instagram a while back. It's like, you know, just be a woman. Like, who cares? Skinny, curvy, big, small. Well,
and
small.
I think if more people just focused on being creative and not analyzing. I mean, there's a big thing going on this week. There's been a lot of analyzing of different subject matters on, you know, whatever. But I just feel like... it's totally, you guys, it's totally off topic. So okay. It was like a Game of Thrones thing that happened.
Well, I haven't watched that episode yet.
But it had to do with Sansa.
Yes, I know that so much. Night. Yes. Yeah.
So anyway, tune into the other podcast if you want to talk more about that. But, you know, there's so much focus put on these different things. And part of me, I mean, I love to analyze things. That's the intellectual side of my brain. I love that. But the other half of me is like, listen, it's a waste of time. Just be creative and be proactive and do things.
Yeah. And also just, I think too, it's like find that place where you understand how special you are, because I think so much of this stems from our insecurities that we're not enough and that we're not good enough and we're not doing a good job. And, you know, that's why I was saying, like, I love so much how bold you are with saying this is the way I do it. And everyone may not agree with it, but it's the way I do it because it works for you. And it may not work for everybody else. But I think that anytime we find ourselves starting to be like, well, shoot, she does that and I do this. And that must mean what I do is wrong. And that's
not enough.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking like someone listening to this could think, oh, God, I have a hard time getting through the week with my one kid and I'm not. And I don't run a business and I don't do this and that.
Listen, it's no joke having one kid. It is hard work. It's no joke having two, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's my heart goes out to anyone that has a child between really 18 months and three, because that is like, you are in it deep
in
at that
it.
Point, you know? And there's nothing, honestly, there's nothing special about me. I just believe in myself and I believe in the choices I make. And that's really there's no secret. There's no nothing, you know?
Were you like that as a small child, or was there someone that like helped you with that? Was there a mentor? Did your mother always say something to you, or what's it in the help? What is the sitter says
you're good?
Did you have that person?
You know, I didn't have one specific person, and I haven't always had this philosophy and kind of way of thinking, I guess. I think that for me, it's been a journey. We can have another podcast about that journey if you guys want. But I had, when I was younger, maybe early, I mean, when I was 16, I moved to New York by myself, went to college. That's pretty young. And I was fearless at that age. Mm. I was truly fearless. Walking around New York City at 16, going to NYU, like mixing with, you know, people who...
And why were you 16 at NYU? Like, had you already gone
through? Because my parents thought it was a good idea. I don't know.
Were you like Doogie Howser? Like, were you like a genius child? Like, how do you get to NYU at 16?
I don't know. The point is, I was in New York City at 16, living on my own.
There's some deflecting going on.
Working at TCBY, the yogurt store. And I was totally fearless. And then... I went through a time where I was very fearful. It changed. That all changed, you know, sometime after college, and between college and the next 5 years, I started to be like, oh, I looked at my life and I was like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know. You know, I didn't have that confidence and that internal compass. And then it's, you know, it took like probably getting married and having my first kid to really get that back and get that and recapture that feeling that I had in my late teens, early 20s of like, I can do this. I can do anything. You know what I mean? And I think that's what if there's anything I can impart on my girls and my boys, but especially the girls, is I want to raise them believing they can do anything. They can be anything. You know, I was a girl raised on a farm in Ohio. My parents, my mom was a school teacher, my dad was a scientist, but they raised my sister and I like we could literally do or be anything, you know? And so that's what I want to impart on my kids.
Well, and, you know, I feel like we both went through that big searching phase, part of it together.
Like I said, another podcast.
Another podcast. But I, you know, I do feel like this is a common theme for a lot of people out there, and especially people in their 20s. And, you know, look, anyone out there who is a parent in your 20s, geez, I mean, kudos to you, because I think of if I had become a parent in my 20s and I'd still, and I didn't even know who I was yet or what I was doing. You know, it's rough and it's hard. And I think also to what you were saying about, you know, somebody who has one kid versus someone who has three, it's all relative, and you only know your experience based on what you're in at any given moment. And so for you, I'm sure when you had Gavin, that was the hardest thing you'd ever dealt with. And now you have four and you can look back and say like, maybe that wasn't so hard, but compared to what? I mean, this is
Well, you have to build up to
you're
it.
In training.
Yeah, I was training, like, training myself. Four. I remember bringing River home, my second, and like, you know, Gavin wasn't quite two, and River, here we have River coming along, boop-a-doo-boo. And I just remembered, like, you know, being with the two of them and being like, what have I done? You know, like, what have I done? And it was really overwhelming. You know, those are real moments. I still have them, you know, that's what makes us all human. That's what bonds us moms and parents together.
We are still learning. There is no point at which if somebody, I remember one of my spiritual teachers was like,
was that me?
Oh, yeah, probably. Was like, you know, you never arrive yet, right? You never arrive. It doesn't happen. There's not a place where you suddenly stand on the platform and look down at all and be like, oh, and I was like, well, then what's the point? I mean, I'd like to go back to the time where I was ignorant and didn't know better. I wasn't trying to change myself or change the world or do any of these things. And it's just, I think, accepting and taking on the experience of being human and that we are always learning. And that's the part of the journey. And that's really the only thing there is. There isn't an end. There isn't a destination. My dear, I love you so much. And
I love you too.
And thank you for doing this and for allowing us to Atomic Moms take over Geek Nation.
Oh my gosh. Of course. I've had the best time and we barely touched on the girls part. So we'll have to, you know,
yeah, we'll have to get into that. People can find you on Instagram, which
you
is
can find me on Instagram. You can listen, folks. I'm all over the net.
You own the net.
At Claire Kramer. And that's Twitter and on Instagram.
And spell Claire.
C-L-A-R-E. Kramer, yeah. Like Kramer versus Kramer. And on Instagram, it's Claire Kramer Official.
And you can catch both of us in the huge cheerleader hit, Bring It On.
You can.
Which, by the way, was in the live episode of Undateable.
And nobody said anything.
And nobody said anything. And I almost jumped out of my seat watching it.
And you know what? I thought
at the
time.
And they were right next to you guys.
I know. And at the time, I thought, like, I should comment. But you know, it's that thing in me where it's like, I'm not going to make this about me.
Oh, but it would have been such a great.
I know. They referenced Bring It On in a joke. And I was sitting right behind the guys. And you know, I felt so stupid about it afterwards because I had like 20 people tweet me and say, I can't believe they made a Bring It On reference and nobody even said anything to you.
I almost flipped out.
And so whatever, live and learn, right? But what's the, so the next thing that people can catch you in is?
The next thing that people can catch me in is probably Tales from Halloween, which is Mike Mendez film coming out in, well, I guess it's coming out at Halloween. And then I have another movie coming out called The Lost Tree with Michael Madsen and Lacey Chabert.
Okay, what are the kids going as for Halloween? I know that's
a million miles
away. But
that's
so
far away.
I know, but Geek Nation, I'm sure you have amazing costumes.
I don't know what they're going to do this year. I got to think about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll have you back.
And everybody, get on geeknation.com. There's so much content. It's even if you aren't a huge geek, I love to go and look at the interviews and there's some web series.
Well, we think of geek as like, are you passionate about something? Are you passionate about music? Are you passionate about sports? Are you passionate about writing? Are you passionate about art? Like then, you know, we're passionate about it too. So come on over.
Awesome, mama. Love you lots.
Love you. Thank you guys for having me.
Guys, we'll be right back.
Hey, I feel so inspired, Bianca.
You know what, too? It's so interesting. I think it's rare. I feel like these days to have a conversation with somebody whose views can be so different from yours. You know, you might see somebody on the news or you might be reading an article, but like to really sit and have a conversation with somebody who really does things very differently. I mean, some of Claire's, some of her outlook on, you know, the choices that she makes with her kids, you know, they vary greatly from some of the ways that I might choose to do it. But I really loved that. I really loved that we're sitting in a room having a conversation with someone who has really made up her mind about the way that she wants to do things.
Yeah, and she reminded me of my mommy, actually.
Really?
Not with the violent stuff, but with the like, yeah, you know, you do your work, you get it all done, you do it all. But I think I probably vary a little bit with the whole, like, you can have it all. Cause I feel like I'm more in the Shonda Rhimes camp. Shonda Rhimes is the creator of Scandal and Grey's Anatomy. And she's, you know, she did a commencement speech at Dartmouth a couple of years ago where she was like, you can't do it all. And whenever she's with her kids, she feels like work is sacrificed. And whenever she's at work, she feels like the kid stuff is sacrificed. And I probably lean more towards that. Because I feel like there's always a sacrifice. I don't know if you can really do it all. But I loved hearing Claire say that she thinks she can. And she definitely has lit a fire under my ass to go after what I want.
Well, and I think the point is that it's okay to sit and have... I don't know why there's this feeling... I feel like a lot of people feel this way. I know I do sometimes, where when somebody says something that you don't agree with, and maybe not only do you not agree with it, but it ruffles your feathers a little bit, there's instantly this need to put distance between you and that person, or to feel like, you know, oh, one of us has to be better and the other worse, or one of our ways is right and the other is wrong. And the fact of the matter is we can all have our own opinions and live our own lives the way that we want to live them and still come together and have great discussion and not be at each other's throats.
And that's kind of the problem with cable news today and just like the way people are getting their news, period. It's like you end up going to these same blogs or the same, you know, you watch the same news programs, and then they're just preaching to the choir, and your horizons are never expanded because you're only hearing the same stuff that you already agree with. And so this is way more fun.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I mean, I think too, it's like if we were all just kind of allowed to be the parents that we desire to be, and make the choices that we feel are best for our kids, that would mean that we lived in a world where everybody was very understanding and non-judgmental about people's choices. And that would mean that we would raise our kids to be non-judgmental. And, you know, even though there might be different people doing things different ways, I think we would probably be much more inclusive of each other as a whole society, because we were all, you know, down with whatever anybody wants to do. Maybe I just solved world peace right there.
I think so. I mean, we have said before that in the mommy wars, we are Switzerland. Okay.
Yeah.
We are Switzerland. We are, we're not on either side. We're every side. Kumbaya, my friends. Namaste.
Kumbaya.
Namaste, as one of our favorite guests, Hillary Stam, always says. Namaste.
I love it.
Okay, I have a mom session. Can I share it?
Yeah, tell me about it.
Okay, it's the Blah Blah Dolls. They are so adorable. What? They're these hand-knitted dolls, okay, and it's called Blah Blah. And they were created in 2001 by Susan Pritchett and Florence Wetterwald, and they're good friends like us with the same philosophy of life and beauty. They went to Peru, and they saw these expert knitters, and they saw what a beautiful job they were doing, and they were touched by their gentle spirit, and they decided to create this company of knitted products for kids. And so they've been collaborating with the same artisans for over a decade. Obviously, I'm getting this from their About Us section on their website, which you should go to, blahblahkids.com. And here's what's awesome about them. They commit to fair trade and keeping environmental awareness in mind. And their mission is to inspire joy and laughter. And when you look at their products, it's just so darn cute. It's like you can't not smile. They have like mermaids, and they have these little animals, and there are all these little knitted dolls. Have you seen them before, Bianca?
No, I haven't. I had no idea what you're talking about, so I'll have to definitely check them out.
You have to check it out. You've probably seen it in little boutiques and stuff. Their website's adorable. I also follow them on Instagram because I'm a stalker of all adorable children's things. What is your mom bomb?
My mom bomb this week is from acting class, but I felt like it was kind of went hand in hand with our discussion with Claire, and also is great because Claire's an actor herself. So it's, It's a good old, you know, there's a lot of things that we learn in acting that I feel like are, could just be general therapy for everyone. And that is listen with the intent to understand, not with the intent to speak. And, you know, I mean, I think that like so much of the time in discussions, we're just thinking about what we are going to say next. How do we continue to keep the conversation moving? How do we argue our side?
There's that great actor joke, when looking at a script, bullshit, bullshit, my line, bullshit. Bullshit, my line.
And you know what's so sad about that is that's kind of the way that we speak to each other in life, is that you're not even really listening. You're just thinking about what you're going to say next. And I just would challenge all of our listeners, maybe the next conversation you have after listening to this podcast, listen with the intent to understand and not, you know, with what you're going to say, because I think that it really kind of changes it up and makes the conversation take on a whole different form when you're just there to listen. So
remember, trust in your goodness,
live out your greatness,
and rock on, Atomic Moms.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore, because it's here and it's funny and I love you.
A few days ago, Brooke Tudine posted an inspirational quote on her wall that got 17 likes and 3 comments. Thumbs up, Brooke. Geico also wants to make a comment. In just 15 minutes, you could save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance by switching to Geico. And nothing says inspiration better than saving money. Well, except for those posters that say things like teamwork, excellence, and make it happen. Hashtag keep climbing. Hashtag savings.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.